Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
When your money's on the line, choose a trusted sportsbook that gives you tools to win, like MyBookie. At MyBookie, it doesn't matter if your team's up or down, you can easily cash out or bet the game live to come out on the winning side. Use MyBookie for daily odds boost, same game parlays, I like teasers, and take advantage of the huge prize pool contest. Plus, MyBookie currently has a no strings attached cash bonus that lets you deposit, withdraw, quick. Carries a one-time rollover. Can't find that anywhere else. Just use promo code 49ers, 49ERS, or scan the QR code on this video right next to my face here to claim your own cash deposit bonus now. That's promo code 49ers. So try my money bag. You basically roll the dice and it picks a team and gives you extraordinary odds on who's going to win the Super Bowl. Lots of fun options there, so bet anything, anytime, anywhere, and I do mean anywhere, wherever you are, you can bet with MyBookie. Just make sure you use the promo code 49ERS, and let's go. Let's make some money together.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys. It's a new year. It's the same show. And the best. Why would you change something that is so good? Wayne Breezy, the man, it's Tuesday. How we doing, man?
Tuesdays are the best days. We ship champagne like we Thursday. No, it's a good day. You know, I woke up. Well, last night was great. For Breezy.
Congratulations to your Wolverines. No way, man. Dude, no way.
I appreciate that. No, because the game plan, since we're talking about the plan, the game plan was we were going to spontaneously show up in Texas, Houston to be exact, and just live our best lives.
Hey, man. I just get to save some money for the playoffs. You know what I mean? That's all it is.
I got you. Which me too, because the only way I was going is if it was a joint venture and we can watch Texas and Michigan go at it. But listen, man, a great night, man. It was awesome. A great night. New Year's was good. My grandmother turned 98. Ooh. 98. And so the And the cool thing was, like, one of the gifts we gave her a... It's 98 trips around the sun. You kind of run out of things to get, right? So we did a money flower, like dollar bills. So it was $100 bills. Ooh. And then in the middle were roses.
How cool is that?
That was cool because I was definitely trying to figure out how I could get some of it, but she wouldn't let it go. She's 98. She got her wit.
She knows what she wants.
Exactly, bro. But it's good to be here, John.
I love it, man. RTP, appreciate you in the chat. We got JP. Love all the hashtag CCs, all the BBs for the Breezy bunch. This is awesome. The college football, it's so fun because it's kind of draft time. I've got some draft questions we'll talk about a little bit later. But I want to be in the moment. Above all else, the 49ers are the one seed. They have handled their business. We have so many milestones that were accomplished within the 16 games without the 17th game asterisk, whatever you want to say, with them expanding the thing. I want to talk about those things. Go over some playoff seedings, matchups. Talk about how historic this defense is. We got a lot of stuff, and above all those things, we're going to keep talking through the chat. Joe, appreciate you. Oh, he got one right. He got one wrong here. He says, sorry about your Longhorns, John. I'm rooting for the Spartans because of Wayne. I think that's a backhanded compliment there.
I'm curious. I appreciate the rooting, but the Spartans, nah, them little brothers is going to be at home.
Rivalry. Yeah, they watch.
Yeah, they're going to be at home for the next 10 years.
I love it. Vince right here. New year, same old sorry ass Rams. And, you know, this is something that I want to talk about later. Along, you know, 49ers social media, there's a lot of fear of the Rams. And I am just like, I don't understand. I don't get it. I understand Stafford's playing some good ball. I understand they got two good wide receivers. But, man, I don't know about being worried about the Rams. I'm not worried about any team in the NFC, personally. It just
no, no. When I said on Twitter, the one team I don't want to see in the playoffs is the Rams, it doesn't mean I'm worried. It's just more like I just rather not see the same team three times. That's a preference. I didn't want to see Seattle three times last year, but the way the cards felt, we had no choice. We went out there and did the damn thing. And just because the Rams are 1-0 against Kyle Shanahan in the playoffs, that doesn't mean I'm worried. I just rather not see the Rams three times. It's a divisional game. They can go either way. You know, you could kind of tip your hat, you know, oh, we about to blow these you don't blow out divisional opponents, right? Like, it rarely happens, even though we blew out the Seahawks. But my point is, it rarely happens. So I'd rather not see the Rams, but I'm not worried at any percent worried about the Rams.
I love that. What's up, Big Papa? We got Coach Cruz in the house. Call it. Ooh, Nick Nice. He was first on your stream. Got to give it up to him. Manny was second. Appreciate those guys. I love how they fight for that, man. Happy New Year, Nick. Appreciate you. Kim from across the pond. And, you know, we're already starting to get leaks of the 2024 schedule. It's starting to come out, baby.
Is it possible we're across the pond next year?
I think it is possible because the Niners, you know, when they switched over to the 17th game, that means 1 year you have 9 home games, 1 year you have 8. 2023 was an 8 home game year for the 49ers. Next year, you get that additional 1. So it's going to be probably an NFC versus NFC team across the pond. And, you know, one of the things that's still up in the air, almost all the teams are kind of determined as far as like seedings for 2024. It's that NFC South, because whoever wins the division, we travel to that team, whether that's Tampa Bay, New Orleans Saints, who I want to get it, or the Atlanta Falcons. And I think if one of those East Coast teams, the Falcons or Tampa Bay, gets it, that could be a Europe game. I think that really could be one. So, but I
could dig it,
baby. I want to go to New Orleans. I want some beignets. I want some hurricanes. I know Wayne likes hurricanes. I got them messed up one time on those.
Listen,
where was that?
I don't know, but don't do hurricanes.
I think that was in Atlanta. I think I got you in Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm good. Hurricanes and pool water, like anything blue, stay away from it.
Like, awesome. I love it. What's up, Jack? She's the best. Hello, Faithful. Have a great show. Jax. Really appreciate you. We got Steven in the house, man.
A lot
really
of Breezy Bunch members in here, man. What a great team. What a great new year we're kicking off. You know, it was cool to watch. I didn't watch the victory speech from the game, but it was cool to like watch it in the new year and be like, yo, that's dope. And on top of that, they still weren't satisfied. You know why I love this team? Because they know that they're still not at that, you know, can of whip ass ability. Like it's there, but they still don't play up to that full thing yet. They're still not there. Maybe they're saving it for the playoffs.
Yeah, we'll see. And, you know, Debo was just on Kay Adams' show. Ooh, and he just said, it's all hands on deck this week against the Rams. And so let's transition. Let's talk. Let's go 49ers Rams week 18.
18.
17th game, but week 18. On what the 49ers should do. You know, that what's the plan moving forward? That's what we're talking about today. Personally, I don't think there's even a place for the 49ers to rest everybody. It is almost too difficult to figure that out. So let's let Kyle Shanahan tee this up. Then I want to hear from you, Wayne, what the 49ers should do week 18.
I really didn't think about it. We're just focused on this. I'm definitely try to rest some guys. But I mean, you can't rest everybody. It's too hard. I mean, you don't have enough players, so we got to fill the team without a doubt. But and we're gonna have a big week of practice. You know, I still think there's lots of things we got to obviously get a lot better at, and the only way you do that is playing football and practicing football. So we'll have a big Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, figure out our roster as the week goes, and decide what we'll do for Sunday.
I love that he said, you know, we're going to have a big week of practice. And even in his halftime speech or his post-locker room speech, he said, only way we get better is by playing football. And whether that's practicing or games, so just understand this, we're going to work because we're not where we need to be. You alluded to that. So, Wayne, what were your thoughts after hearing that? What do you want to see this week?
I think I came out last week and said I think that the players should play. How much, that's kind of like up to Kyle Shanahan, but – you know, you treat it, it's a regular season game. So you don't treat it like it's anything else. You come out there with a game plan to win. And I don't think they, you know, I'm not going to say it's going to be a vanilla game plan, but 49ers want to win. They want to beat the Rams. They don't want to lose to the Rams. I think that's what it is. That's the mindset. If you just told me that Deebo Samuel said, nah, we coming out all players on deck, well, look, if the players are injured and they need an extra week off, then no, those players won't play. I wouldn't be surprised if Trent Williams isn't out there. He's going to be out there. I just got a funny feeling that they're not done yet. And I'm a huge person on rust. I do believe players get rusty when they don't play. They've earned the week off. Imagine what practice would be like. You go 13-4. Whether it's a meaningless game or not, but you sweep the division again, that would do something to the camaraderie in that locker room, right? 2 years in a row, I know people are looking at it like it's a meaningless game, but for 2 years in a row, you will own your division. And like Kyle Shanahan said, it would be almost impossible to rest the starters because they're part of the game plan. Because no one's talking about the offensive line, right? And so, like, they got to play. Right, the majority of the offensive linemen got to play. Maybe Aaron Banks, this is a game where he can get right before that bye week, even though he was dressed last week and didn't play with the turf toe. So we'll see, but I think you got to play these players as much as you can. If you got a comfortable lead, you start plucking them out one by one. But I think they go out there and play.
Yeah, and you know what's crazy is there's only one team in the NFL that's undefeated against their division this year. That's the 49ers. There's only one. Every wow. other team has a division loss. You go to last year, there were two teams that escaped the entire regular season.
Agreed.
The Chiefs
and the Niners.
Super Bowl and the yep. Niners. So the yep. 49ers got a little bit of, you know, and for McVay, the small brother who's been dominated in this series, he's, man, let's get this monkey off our back now. We could play them here in 2 weeks in the divisional round. Very possible rematch. There's something to be played. Aaron Donald hates the 49ers more than anybody. He's going to act like he don't know their names and whatever
Deebo
else.
Right. Oh, this for me, I want Deebo to play. Thank you so much, Mill_Money. I want Deebo to get those 129 yards. I know he has 1,000 scrimmage yards. It's not the same as 1,000 receiving yards. I thought it. John, my voice is coming back. You can hear the post-nasal drip on its way out. I'm feeling better. It doesn't hit the same, and I thought it was me. I really did. I'm like, yo, 1,000 scrimmage yards, that's cool. That's
it's cool.
But what is he, a buck 29 away? He can have a big game, and he has big games against the Rams.
He does. And a lot of that was because him and Jalen Ramsey kind of had their thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Physical on physical and kind of best on best or whatever else. So yeah, and you know, let's go through some of these before we jump to the Rams and all that stuff. I pulled up a handful of just kind of accolades that the 49ers have accomplished. You know, number one, I think probably most importantly, Brock Purdy breaks the all-time 49ers passing mark, which is just crazy to me. 4,280 yards, only by 2 yards against Jeff Garcia, but he's still going to play. Brock Purdy plays this week. And you look at these names.
I love it.
Jimmy Garoppolo's in the top 10 twice. Anything else stand out to you about this top 10 list for passing yards? We're going to do passing touchdowns as well.
So, look, the reason why it stands out to me is because when you think about the 49ers offense, it's always, you know, yakety yak. And it's been that, right? Like, it's been run after the catch, yards after the catch, however you want to you call it, with Steve Young, with Jeff Garcia, with Joe Montana. with Jimmy Garoppolo. Now Brock Purdy. Yes, that's the basis of the offense, right? Get the ball to your playmakers. But when you look at what Brock Purdy and the element that Kyle Shanahan was able to add to the game, it's the same element that we thought we were going to get from drafting a quarterback like Trey Lance, and that's getting the ball down the field, getting those explosive plays. And like John, you are, it's so dope when you say explosive plays aren't necessarily something that you plan for, but they are dialed up at some point, like, but they have to be executed to happen. So in this past game, when you the one explosive play we got was to Brandon Ayuk, and usually Brandon Ayuk is catching passes plus 20 yards every game, right?
Every game. Led the NFL in yards per reception.
Yeah, but they're defending him a little bit differently, and Brock had to get the ball out a lot quicker. And the one thing I'm loving about Brock Purdy is his ability just to locate man coverage, and I don't think it's talked about enough. And, you know, you see it in the NFL. Quarterbacks are looking for it. Brock goes through his progressions, hit the explosive play to Brandon Ayuk, and that's what's helping elevate his yard. So, yo, we're still that yak team, but now we can hit you with some explosives deep down the field. And I don't think people really understand how the new element of the San Francisco 49ers offense, taking the top off the D, that's something that we can look forward to because Brock is only going to get stronger and better.
Yeah, I like that. I do like that. Now, I played a little bit of this clip on the post game, but I want to put this up there now just because I think it's impressive. This is Brock talking about becoming the all-time leader.
I mean, it's an honor, you know, to be able to come into an organization with the rich history that this place has. And obviously to be able to break a record like that, to me, you know, just being the human side of it is like cool. You know, like I was just a little kid dreaming of playing in the NFL, and to be able to do something like that, it's pretty cool. But man, I gotta say, it's a testament to the team, you know, that I have around me, the dudes that I get to throw the ball to, the guys on defense, special teams, our coaches, the organization. I mean, everything's been so good for me to come in, and they've allowed me to, you know, have success. And so it's a testament to everybody around me, and I'm very thankful.
Did you know that you can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks? You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball, hockey, college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. And here's what's great. You can get action on sports on more than 30 different states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. On top of that, you got playoff basketball actions on the horizon, and this is the best place to take advantage of all of basketball's postseason actions. Some of these player props: Nikolai Jokic for over 10 rebounds, Anthony Davis more than 2 blocks, Lillard, 4 three-pointers made. You get to pick exactly how you want to use your bets. So, download the app today. Use code 49ers49ERS for a deposit match up to $100. Again, that's promo code 49ers for a first deposit match up to $100 over on Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
There we go. And, you know, that's awesome. Now, if we look at passing touchdowns, he's still got work to do. But he is the first quarterback since the year 2000 to have over 30. He has 31 passing touchdowns, but still comes in fourth on the list. You got 2 Steve Youngs and another Jeff Garcia, 32 touchdown passes in 2001. So he's still got some work to do there.
Yeah, he does. There's nothing saying Brock can't go out and have a 5 touchdown game and tie for first. It's possible. Here's the thing.
You think they'll leave him in that long?
Listen, Brock get all his touchdowns in the first half. How about that? But no, here we go, right? Now, and no, not disrespect to the Rams defense. I'm sure they're going to come out and they're going to play hard, right? But no, seriously, look, Brock has the opportunity to go out there and pass Jeff Garcia again, right? And he has the opportunity to at least maybe possibly catch up to one of Steve Young's accolades. So we'll see what happens. But at the end of the day, you know, first and foremost, I think they come out, they play, Kyle probably treat it like a preseason game or whatnot. But the game plan, I guarantee you, for Kyle Shanahan is to destroy Sean McVay. Listen, both teams are in the playoffs. So at this point, it doesn't really matter. The seeding is pretty much set. They got the sixth seed. We have the first seed. It is what it is. And the only way we actually see them, right, in the second round is if they win and if the Cowboys win, then we get them, right? Is that how it works?
The lowest seed. So they could be the seventh seed. So their seed, they're in. They're just in here. I'll pull this
so
up.
So if the Seahawks
quick.
If the Seahawks win, they're out.
There's a couple. Oh, no, Green they're not
Bay.
Out.
Green Bay. Green Bay would have to lose.
Here we go. So
there we go.
Real quick, let's go through this and you know the current seedings. Okay, you got the 49ers are the one. The 2-7 matchup is Cowboys Packers. Packers played some good ball. 3-6 is Lions Rams. 4-5 is Bucks Eagles. Now, if we look at the seedings, there are five teams. Well, really only four, even though Chicago's 7-9, they're eliminated. But the Falcons can get in. They're 7-9. Minnesota can still get in. They're 7-9. And then you got Seattle and the Saints at 8-8. So it could still be crazy. It's just for that last spot. So there's only one spot open for five teams.
Interesting.
So, and if, what's it called? If Seattle or Green Bay or New Orleans wins and the Rams lose, they would fall below, I believe. I don't think they can fall behind Seattle because of the division record, but the other teams they can because of the, what's it called? The conference record. I think the Packers could still pass them if the Rams lose, but more than likely Rams would be the sixth seed.
But they've clinched the playoff spot.
Yes.
So the worst scenario is a seventh seed.
Yes.
Right. So that's my point. Like, so like at the end of the day, like the Niners, if the Rams win in the first round, they play Dallas, they beat Dallas. Guess what? The Niners get the Rams in the divisional round for the third time of the season. So like, this is going to be cool. The playoffs is going to be great. I can't wait.
Can't wait. Can't wait. Bart Scott. That's what he says. Fish and Chips. Appreciate you. He says Rams are our longest and greatest rival. Kick butt. Don't pull punches. Send them in there limping. I'm totally with that one. I don't mind. And I saw, you know, shout out to Claudia. She says, you know, treat this like a preseason game. That's my mindset. You know, yeah. I want to go out there and have, look, if you guys can go out there and have three straight scoring possessions.
Often, that's what I'm saying. It all depends on how they execute. I think that was the thing that I wanted to, you know, stick with. I think Kyle Shanahan is going to have a game plan for those guys to go out there, execute, and put up points, right? They're going to be at home. They're going to be in front of the faithful. They're going to want to go out there. And I'm hoping that they fix some of their mistakes in the red zone. I did not like the red zone offense last week. They only, they were 50%, 3-for-6 in the red zone. They got to be better. They get to that 20-yard line, they got to find ways to punch it in. And for the first time ever in all season, we can't blame it on penalties because there weren't any penalties in the red zone this week. It's so crazy, right? So they got to be better when it comes to executing in the red zone. And so I think this is what Kyle is going to look at trying to do. And I wouldn't be surprised if Sam Darnold gets his first touchdown this week.
Yeah, he had one last week, I think, didn't he? Whenever Brock went down, he threw one touchdown pass.
Oh, Jeronnie Bell. Ronnie Bell.
Yeah.
Second touchdown this week.
Matchup. There we go. And what's crazy is I feel like the 49ers are good at like fixing one issue per game. They can't fix two.
But not multiple issues. I got you. I got it.
Penalties, red zone.
Well, that's
up.
Because they have ADHD. So when they look to fix something, they will fix it all the way. Like last week, three missed tackles recorded, right? Three missed tackles. So going from what they did the week prior, that's a fix. Like, that's a fix. That was like a huge fix. So, yeah, man, look, the Niners are going to come out. They're going to come out sharp. But like you said, treat it like a preseason, maybe a preseason three game. Your starters play the first half, and then you start pulling them out. You start pulling them out.
I like that. Daryl with the super chat. He says, our O-line was hunting on Sunday. Let them by far their best game of the year. And Jake Brendel. Pass pro, which he's been terrible for the past month. But, man, he had a game.
Colt McKivitz had a good game. Look, it's about damn time.
Yeah. It's about damn time.
Hey, turn up the music. I'm just saying, like, it's about time, right? Like, the word continuity that I was looking for. Spencer Burford still struggled in pass pro. He wasn't too good. He was better in the run blocking game. Elijah Mitchell had a great game. You know, and Kyle said, listen, when he's healthy, he led us in rushing. And he's right. Right. And so, like, I know a lot of people wanted to move on from Elijah Mitchell or trade him or whatever. I kept saying we just got to be patient. And this is what Kyle, this was part of his plan. Like, this is probably why he wasn't rushed back, because they could rely on Jordan Mason if need be. They had that luxury in the running back room. They kept a running back and Jeremy McNichols on the practice squad, brought him up when they needed to, blah, 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 blah. They released TDP and then they brought him back to the practice squad. So the Niners, it's like the Niners have a, in baseball, what do we call it? A farm system. They created their own
Niners
got their, yes. So they got their own double A brewing right there in Santa Clara. So they got players, even though we haven't seen them and they haven't been productive. They just need to plug and play, get the opportunity. That's what it is.
You know, I'm going to skip around a little bit. I'm going off script here, but I love what you said. And I want to transition quickly. One of my favorite, you know, especially when we get to draft time, Daniel Jeremiah moved the sticks. He's unbelievable. Everybody knows who he is. He put this out on Twitter and he said, you know, this is, I'm reading his Twitter quote, fun to look at how San Francisco and Baltimore built their teams. One thing that stood out to me is the commitment to off ball linebackers. So many teams has devalued that spot. They've invested in it. The four dudes, incredible players, shut down the middle of the field, run and pass. And you brought up farm system, right? So I was like, man, okay. We're talking about these four. We're talking about Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, Roquan Smith, and Patrick Queen. All four of the top six linebackers in the NFL. And I don't think anybody would disagree with that. Now, what's crazy is, you look at how the Ravens got those guys. They traded a second and fifth rounder for Roquan and a first. They spent a first rounder on Patrick Queen. Whereas the 49ers spent a fifth on Greenlaw and a third on Warner. Not only that, they also undrafted free agent Aziz, developed him, and we just got news today. One of our backups, one of our farm systems, Robinson, he got offered a roster spot for the Titans and turned it down, Wayne.
That's crazy. Curtis Robinson, are you serious?
Turned it down, said, nope, I want to stay right here. I want to go to the playoffs. I want to be a part of this team. That's culture.
Can I factor in, you know, really quick shout out to the Ravens, because I think between the Ravens, the 49ers, the Panthers, and the Bears, they had linebackers like that. That was how they based their they built their defense off the linebacking position. Now, the majority of those players, you know, I'm talking Ray Lewis, Brian Urlacher, Luke Kuechly, Patrick Willis, right? Like the difference between like Luke Kuechly and Patrick Willis maybe started kind of like that hybrid still linebacker, mean mugging, but can still cover, right? Like those were those two guys. And then you saw San Francisco take that model and went straight to finding a linebacker that was a hybrid between safety and linebacker. And that's when they drafted Fred Warner. And you can tell that what was missing from the Ravens defense for some years was a guy that controlled the middle of the field like a Ray Lewis. So they had to get back to that. Yeah, it's cool to have Ed Reed because he can float and he can control the secondary and see it from that perspective. But they needed that general. And so when they drafted Patrick Queen, that was dope, right? But they had to spend a first rounder on him. The thing that makes San Francisco so amazing is at the time when they drafted Fred Warner, you had one of the greatest linebackers to play the game, like coaching him up from day one. And that's the head coach, D'Amico Ryans, of the Houston Texans. That's why that defense will be a problem. Give them 2 or 3 years, they're going to be on the same page. The 49ers know how to develop linebackers. They don't necessarily have to use a luxury pick and get a top guy from the draft. They can find out what, you know, characteristics that they need to be a linebacker in this system, and then they just keep churning them in, churning them in, churning them in. So Fred Warner developed into a Mike linebacker. And the crazy thing is Greenlaw can play the mic. Aziz could play the mic. Like, you think about these linebackers, they could play the mic. And so that's what we do, man. That, if you ask me one position the Niners develop, it's the linebackers.
Linebacker. We have MD winners, Jalen Graham. We got rookies.
They're in the system.
You remember the Marcelino McCray ball hype? Like, I miss him. Loved him. I loved him.
But he's gone.
Gone. Gone. G-O-W-N. Gone. And so, like, and so I think, you know what, and if we're going to have this conversation, we can't leave out Reuben Foster, because the 49ers did spend a first-round pick, traded up.
They
first
did.
Round pick, but it didn't work out. And I felt like that was, like, one of – there's two John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan teams, pre-Reuben Foster and post. After.
Mm-hmm.
They changed their whole scouting plan. They changed everything. They don't take red flag players anymore.
There
and
you go.
If you have medical issues, you there are you a late day three pick only.
There you
only.
Go. But they had to learn, okay? And if I'm not mistaken, I think they traded up to get Reuben Foster. Like, I think that was something that they did to move back in the first round to get him, because I believe the first pick was a different player at that time. So, in the first round. So, my point is, Reuben Foster was what they were trying to use to rebuild the linebacker position, and he can go from sideline to sideline. He had the energy. The issue with him was his red flags, and I think the Niners thought at that time their culture can help change the mindset. No. And that's not what happened. So he couldn't figure it out. But you know what they did? They drafted him. They stood by him. And they tried to support him. Unfortunately, he fell by the system. Now, we wish him all the best luck, and we hope he's out there, you know, doing what he can. But he would have been a phenomenal linebacker if his mind was.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the health concerns came later.
Then the health concerns. Yeah. He stayed injured too. Good point. Yep.
And so, you know, like, one of the funny things is, like, anytime people talk about, man, we could have had Micah Parsons, I'm like, dude, there's no way in hell you draft Micah Parsons after drafting Reuben Foster. Now, Parsons has panned out, but you look into the past of Parsons, he makes Reuben Foster look like a freaking army cadet. Like, that dude, like, Micah Parsons' history is beyond spotted. I don't think he was even on our draft board, but whatever. Now, Sergernot says, did Bills play last Sunday? He did. He got 4 snaps on defense and 11 special team snaps. So he's getting worked into the mold just a little bit. I expect him to play a lot, maybe even the entire second half, which we always rotate D linemen. And I have noticed Robert Beal goes all out.
It's 0 to 100. It's one or the other.
He got gassed after his first game.
Yeah.
Big time.
But you know that he's got to get into NFL 49er football shape. And the only way he's going to do it, John, is by getting some reps. And so they're dialing him in as a little bit. That's why I said I wouldn't mind, you know, if we see him as a specialist on third and longs, because he got energy. And let him just exert it out, try to get to that quarterback, make a play, come back out, right? Like, you know, and then rebuild, recharge or whatever. And so it's good that he's getting out there. I wouldn't be surprised if we see all these rookies play on Sunday. I want to see some Braden Willis packages. I want to see Ronnie Bell. Listen, Ronnie Bell, when Brandon Ayuk comes out, I guarantee you, that touchdown that Ronnie Bell caught in the Ravens game from Sam Darnold was a Brandon Ayuk play. And you knew it was, right?
So my question is, like, this past week, they moved him to Juwan Jennings' spot, which I didn't like it either. Like, didn't I like love it. The idea.
He's not a slot guy.
Went there.
He's just not a slot guy.
This before the game,
too. We sure did. And it doesn't mean he can't become a slot guy. It's just right now working him into that role. That's not his thing. He's a quick, fast, shifty receiver, but playing in the slot, you got to block properly. He had a hold. He had a penalty in this game, right? Like right? And it negated a big Deebo Samuel run, which got the 49ers down to the red zone at the goal line, and I guarantee you it would have been another touchdown for the 49ers, but that's the opportunities that I'm talking about. I didn't think it was a big-ass hold, but and it was a late flag because he's on his booty, and the dude is up.
It was questionable.
But they called it. Refs are gonna ref, and you got to deal with it. But he's a rookie. Not, you know.
Jennings watching that's like, dude, if you get a penalty from the slot, you better kill somebody.
Kill him, right? But they're two different receivers, right? They're two different receivers.
Body type, skill sets.
That's my point. Different. Like, everybody thinks a wide receiver is a wide receiver. No, mm-mm. No. Not at all. Wide receivers are wide receivers, but they have different responsibilities. I want people to understand that. I would like to see Ronnie Bell go back to his natural, I'm Brandon Ayuk too, type of receiver. Who will be the Deebo in that game? I don't know. Ray-Ray McCloud might be cleared to play this week. We'll get some Ray-Ray McCloud offensive action. We'll see what happens, though.
There we go. Johnny Dale gives us an update on Reuben Foster. He's now in the USFL. Johnny. Is it the UFL now? They just changed it, right? With the Birmingham Stallions, because they just combined. I saw the Rock announcement or whatever.
Okay.
But yeah, so there's eight teams, and he's playing in there, and he's playing well. But the injuries and the off-the-field stuff, and yeah, have you ever known the 49ers to cut a player the day before a game? No. You remember that whole thing?
I remember the whole thing.
They stood behind him, and Sherman
they advocate. He was his PR, right? Like, right. But they were trying to change. They had the players to change the culture. I believe that was one of the reasons why they signed Richard Sherman. And look at that Richard Sherman signing is the same reason why they bring in vets now. Think about it. Think about it. It's the Niners necessarily using those savvy vets to help, you know, change the mindset of these young players in the NFL. Help them come along. But again, the player has to want to change. And, you know, Foster, we don't know what he wanted at that time. You're young. You're in the NFL. You get your first money.
And I root for him. But he couldn't stay healthy either. Best of luck to him. I'm glad he's no longer with us, and I hope he never comes back.
I agree.
Hey, first chances, I believe in that. Second chances, okay. Third chances, you're going to play for the Cowboys or the Seahawks or the Chiefs. Like, those three teams is it. Fish and Chips, appreciate the super chat. He says, Brock's ad-lib plays need to continue for a Super Bowl run. And that leads me to the next stat that I wanted to talk about. NFL Game Day put this out. Most games with 110-plus passer rating in their first two seasons in NFL history. The top four, Dan Marino with 12, Justin Herbert with 13, Russell Wilson, the troll himself, 14, and Brock Purdy, 14. What does this list say to you, Wayne?
That he's elite.
That's elite.
Yeah. Well, my point is you beat out your idol. Right.
Oh, Dan Marino. That's why he wears 13. That's right.
There it is. You go against the young phenom and Justin Herbert, who had probably the worst season of his career. And you can set it up to bad coaching, bad system, whatever. We know the talent of Justin Herbert. And then you got Dangerous up there. And I know Dangerous now isn't the same Dangerous we dealt with when he played for Seattle. But these are some great quarterbacks. And, you know, Brock Purdy, you know, to be efficient in this league is not easy. I think people think it's super easy to, you know, get the ball out, to, you know, be accurate with your passing. Like, efficiency is everything. It shows your competence. It shows that you understand football. There's times that Brock Purdy makes mistakes because he forgets that he can be efficient and he wants to be that gunslinger. And then next thing you know, the pass is a little off and it's getting picked off, right? Listen, I'm here for all of that. I'm here for quarterbacks making mistakes. I'm here for Brock Purdy making mistakes. But I like what he does in correcting his mistakes. He gets right back to his game plan of, you know, being efficient. This passer rating of 110 plus, he had a 124, I think, 0.6 in the last game. The dude is just a great quarterback in the NFL, and you can say it's because he got weapons. You can say it's because it's Kyle. You can say whatever you want. You know who has to go out there and execute it?
That's Brock Purdy. Every time, man. Hey, Big Papa says, remember, he didn't start the first 12 games of his rookie season. So I went back and I looked, Johnny Dale, he on the spot too, man, always is. You know, I went back and counted all of these players' starts their first 2 years. Russell Wilson had the most with 37 starts. This is regular season and postseason. Just starts, not games appeared in, just starts. Russell Wilson had 37. Mm-hmm. Herbert had 31. Marino mm-hmm. had 29. Brock Purdy's had 24. So he's the best on the list with 5 less starts than Marino and 13 less starts than Russell Wilson, who he's tied with, which context matters.
Context does matter. If people don't remember the Russell Wilson story, he was drafted, what, in the second round or fourth round?
Third round.
Okay. He was drafted in the third round, but he came and beat out the free agent that they signed that year in camp. Pete Carroll decided to go with the kid. You know why? Because he can ad lib. I think that's part of football. Now, you heard Coach Kyle Shanahan said that they don't practice ad lib plays, but then you heard Brandon Ayuk says, yeah, man, we practice. Yeah, we do. So, like, it's so funny listening to him in the pressure. They just don't be on the same page. But I think what Kyle was saying, it's not like it's a play that's scripted and is drawn up. What they do is if it happens, you know, they want to make sure that it's, you know, it's properly executed. That was my favorite throw in the whole game. I know people love that 38-yard throw down the field to Brandon Ayuk. That was a big-time throw. But that ad-lib play, you know, to get Brandon Ayuk in the end zone, the reason why it was my favorite is because when you call Brock Purdy a game manager and he changes the game with a play like that, he directed and told Ayuk where to go. Do you know how hard that is on the run? Like scrambling? That is what makes Brock Purdy. He has this it factor. And I can't measure. You can't measure the it factor.
I agree. I freaking love it. Now we're getting some BA talk in the chat. And I want to go through a couple things here about, first off, Mickey, he asked this, could Brandon Ayuk play in the slot if Jennings isn't there? He could, but you don't want to do that. That's a less valuable position because the number one wide receiver, somebody can stretch the field vertically and run all the routes. B.A. can do that. Juwan Jennings cannot do that. Debo can do it to a lesser extent. So you wouldn't move somebody from a prime position to an unvalued position like the slot. So he probably could. He blocks well enough for damn sure. But you wouldn't want to do that. Now, if we look at BA's kind of current place, this is the top 12 receiving yardage years for any wide receiver. It's Jerry Rice and T.O. And then we got number 12, Brandon Ayuk with 1,317 yards. What stands out to you on this list?
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jerry Rice. But listen, it's Jerry Rice.
It's
so
different.
If I'm Brandon Ayuk, this is why I would want to stay here, because I want to surpass the GOAT. Hey, you can. It's cool. You can go and surpass the GOAT on another team, but to surpass the GOAT on the team of which he was he is the GOAT of, that would drive me to come out every year and be better and do it on an offense. Now, you know, Jerry Rice did it. We had weapons as well, but to do it on an offense with a bunch of weapons, you come on, like that's almost surreal, right? And so. For him to not have an attitude, for him to not be a diva, for him to not be like, throw me the damn ball, you know, that's dope. But when his number is called, he goes out there and makes the plays. I want to kind of rewind to Mickey's comment real quick. You don't have to bring it back up, but I just wanted to kind of say my piece on that particular statement, because if I know Mickey like I know Mickey, I understand where he's coming from. Because you see Davante Adams playing the slot, you see these other wide receivers playing the slot,
and they don't give
two flying cares about that the value of the position. And if you know that best player is going to follow them or whatever. I kind of agree. I kind of understand where Mickey's coming from. It would be cool in this game. I would like to see a 3 wide receiver set, which means we'll be in 11 personnel. I would like to see that set with Debo, Brandon Ayuk, maybe in the slot, and put Ronnie Bell like in the position. Let him stretch the field. He'll probably get one-on-one.
You think he's got the speed for that, though? I mean, he plays the spot, so.
I think in this offense, it's not necessarily about speed, but it's more about getting open, and I think he can get open. I think he can run a double move, find a way to get open. It's not just about speed. It's just about getting open, because I don't think Brandon Ayuk has the super speed either, but, man, his footwork is ridiculous. But this is a game where you could kind of test it. I think they'll defend him one-on-one. Brock Purdy, Sam Darnold, whoever's quarterbacking that week, they might want to try to take advantage of it. Why not? Give it a chance. Game don't matter anyway. If it works, you're like, oh, snap, right? It's not like it's the championship game and you're losing and you run a flea flicker.
Yeah, there we
go. I had to do that. I'm sorry. That pissed me off so much. I'm sorry. My bad.
That's okay. Bad. And I'll say this. You know, I get like – BA is going to be a huge talking point all year. He's under contract, ladies and gentlemen. Like,
fifth year option.
I feel like a lot of the narratives that go around with trades or whatever else, people don't pay attention to the contracts. BA's under contract next year. Now, could the 49ers trade him if they don't want to choose to sign him long term and all that stuff? Sure. Like, those are some issues, but like I'm telling you this, and I hate that we're going to have to go through this again. With BA, it's going to be just like Debo, just like Bosa, just like all those guys. He's under contract in his fifth year. Nothing's going to happen before the draft, and then it's going to carry on and whatever else. And I hope he's here for, you know, the rest of his career, because I love BA so much. But, like, BA will be traded for multiple, first-round pick plus, or he's going to be here next year. So we'll deal with that whenever we get there. Let's stick with the things that, you know, we can deal with and enjoy BA being here now. Shout out to Niner Faithful Fantasy. I'm going to let you take this super chat, Wayne.
All right, Niner Faithful Fantasy, thank you so much for the super chat contribution. Will the 49ers play the starters against the Rams Sunday? Because, you know, you do not want for the players to be rusty and rest 2 weeks without playing. Let me know. Now, I saw in the comment section, Dante Whitner said, you know, there's no such thing as rust. And, you know, I never played in the NFL. So, but I do know players come out there looking weird. They look different. They don't look like they're in sync. So you can call rust. You can call it not being in sync. You can call it they're too slow. You're trying to get together. Something does happen when you take too much time off. That's why I like the Super Bowl, because it's equivalent. Both teams get the rest. Both teams, you know what I'm saying, get a chance to kind of like whatever. So that's why I like that, but this isn't like that. So in this particular situation, I don't know if it's rust, but I think Kyle has the experience by now to know how to manage his players. And so I'm good either way. If he rests the starters, if he lets them play for a half, if he lets them play for two drives, I think I'm good with Kyle Shanahan's game plan in this particular game.
I like that. David says, John, you had a chance to look at Brendan Rice this year. He's the wide receiver from USC. Not starting my draft work yet. I remember the years where I would start my draft work. Yeah. He went from Colorado to USC. I've seen him play, but I used to start draft work, you know, back in the Tom Sula days, like in October. I'm in the moment. And when the season's over, we're all in on the draft. Are you doing the Senior Bowl this year again?
Yeah, I'll be at the Senior Bowl this year. Yeah, it's going to be good. I think Johnny Dell's going to be there. We'll be there together, have us fun, eat some good Gator Nuggets, you know?
That's so cool, man. I love it. I love that you guys go down there because I learned so much from you guys. Draft content is – I freaking love it, man. Now, I will say this. Let's jump real quick because we've talked about Purdy. We've talked about Kittle. Let's go talk real quick about CMC and what he's been able to do. If we're just looking at rush yards, he's got 1,459 rush yards, which is fourth all-time 49ers history. Pretty damn impressive.
Super impressive. Look at the list. Just look at the list.
Frank Gore.
It's Frank Gore, Garrison Hurst, Roger Craig, Christian McCaffrey. And so, unfortunately, the buck stops last week because he's already been ruled out against the Rams with the strained calf muscle. And so we'll see, you know, like the good thing is divisional round, he'll be fresh. And I think that's what you want, right? You want your running back to be super duper fresh. Are these all purpose yards
here? These are all purpose yards right here. Yeah. So walk us through this bad boy.
All right. So your all purpose yards guys are going to be your receiving yards along with your rushing yards. And you can see 2006, man, Frank Gore leads the team and he's probably going to be there. Maybe next year, Christian McCaffrey will find a way to bump up. This is from 16 games played, as you can see on this list. I like that. But look, that's a great list, man. Frank Gore, Garrison Hurst, double back from Roger Craig, Christian McCaffrey up there. Oh, is Jerry Rice and Deebo Samuel the only receivers on this list?
Yep.
Wow.
No T.O. on the list. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
People forget how good that Deebo Samuel 2021 year is. Jerry Rice had more yards one time in his career with the 49ers. Once.
Did we see T.O. in the backfield?
He got a couple carries. Let's see here. I want to look this up because
I kind of don't remember. I know he would take a screen and run a mother go. I know T.O. was one of my favorite wide receivers to play the game. Like
so
like
with
Jerry
the
Rice.
Niners, he had 21 carries. This is Terrell Owens, 162 yards, two touchdowns.
Yeah, that's why he won't be on this list for all purpose yards. But I know I watched Jerry Rice do what Deebo Samuel did. There was a Super Bowl. He took a play to the house, like a Deebo play to the house. So, like, I know, like, that's what he does. So, like, yeah, it's cool. But, you know, hopefully Deebo will get back to that if he can remain healthy for a full season and get factored back into the offense in some type of a way. But it's cool to see Charlie Garner up there, too. A lot of people don't remember him.
That dude had a year.
From Philly.
Man.
Yeah.
He had a year. I just looked up Jerry Rice's career rushing stats. Okay. Listen to this. 84 carries. He's just with the Niners. I don't care what he did with other people. 625 yards, 10 touchdowns. Like,
monster.
That's pretty damn.
10 touchdowns is rushing?
Woo!
Monstrous.
Ooh. All he did was score touchdowns, man. That's
monstrous.
I
think Jerry Rice's thing was, I don't want to be tackled ever. Don't touch me.
So fun, man.
Can't touch this. That should have been his theme song.
Gosh, nah.
Uh-huh, Rick James.
From Hanana Haya, I can't say your name, but it's awesome. What's the status of Ray Ray?
Well, Ray Ray, the practice window has been open of him returning from the injured reserve. I got a better question. Well, Ray Ray, if you can call up one person, who would it be, Danny Gray or Ray Ray?
I will say that Shanahan's going to stay with his checkers mind or his chess mindset. You keep Danny Gray where he is. You don't activate him because his season will toll. You get an extra year out of his rookie contract. You allow Ray Ray to come back. Probably don't come back this week. I don't mind Ronnie Bell returning punts this week. Don't mind. I think this would be good practice for him. There's no consequences. That's good. That's beneficial. But, yeah, if I can't have Ray Ray back, if Ray Ray's not trending to be back after the bye week, then I activate Danny Gray and only then.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I want to see Danny Gray play football for the Niners, but the cool thing is they can work him out in a whole nother year. He did. This is not an accrued season for him. They get a whole new year, whole other year out of him where they can see if he's the
new year.
All right, Beauty and the Beast. We behind the scenes, we started to show up with Little Mermaid.
Aladdin. That was Aladdin.
A whole new world. My bad, Aladdin. My bad. Beauty and the Beast was Beauty and the Beast. But my point is, we did some Disney behind the scenes for people that don't know where we're going with this. But nah, man. I like the fact that, you know, Ray Ray is going to be back. You get your kickoff returner, you get your punt returner, and you relieve the stress of you guys, the faithful out there, when Ronnie Bell goes back there. And
do you have stress? Like, I know you're a Michigan guy through and through, and so I know that you don't get stressed when you see Tin returning a punt?
I don't. He's muffed two punts. He does. He's muffed two punts out of bounds. There was a fumble that wasn't a fumble, but for some reason, I don't get nervous.
It's like, how many lives does this dude have before it cost us?
Look, he's got to learn.
I love Ronnie Bell, just not as a punt returner as a rookie.
If he's going to punt return, he's got to learn. I remember the year Brandon Ayuk punt return, and I thought he was terrible. He didn't muff stuff, but he was terrible. Like, he would get cracked. Same thing we see with Ronnie Bell, right? So listen, I'm going to just go off what you guys feel, and if y'all want him out, he's got to go from punt returning. I want to see him more on no, Big Papa. That's not true, because from what I watched last night, I don't want to see a Michigan receiver return anything. It should just be fair catch.
I wasn't trying to go down that way.
That's fine. Sorry. It should be fair catch, hand in the air, let the ball go over your head into the end zone. Whatever. I don't want to see a Michigan player. That is not what we do anyway. That is not what we do. That Michigan players don't return stuff. Charles Woodson no longer plays. Desmond Howard no longer plays. You understand what I'm saying? These are different players. I'm cool with him not doing that. So this ain't got nothing to do with him being in Michigan. I'm with you. I just don't get nervous. You asked me, did I get nervous? No. I don't. But I think they need to get him back just to being a wide receiver.
I'm not a religious man, but I start doing Hail Marys as soon as I see that dude back there. I'm just like, oh man.
I just wait for your tweet. Please, never ever again, Ronnie Bell.
I can't, like, man. My heart, I get palpitations. I'm just saying, man. It just punt returns scare the hell. My first coordinator job was special teams.
Yeah.
And it was a premium. Like, okay, who's got the best hands? I don't give a damn if you could return. I want Kyle Juszczyk back there. Just secure the damn catch. Whatever you get's gravy. Don't cost the game. And we haven't seen that yet. Hopefully we don't. Shout out to the man, Coach Cruz. He is part of the Rush crew and just a good friend. Great man. He says, can we talk about why we don't just line up best on best and heavy package on the left place, smash mouth when we're inside the five? 2 weeks in a row, we've tried the right side. It did not work.
I don't understand it. And anytime you get down to the goal line, literally – on the goal line, it should be a touchdown. In that 5-yard range, it should be a touchdown. You have Deebo Samuel, which can run it in on any given play. You have Christian McCaffrey. You don't have to run a dive right to the right side. You can do it to the left side if you feel comfortable and confident. Put Charlie Warner, George Kittle out there. Get your two tight ends out there. Get your offensive line blocking that way. Get everything pulling that way. And then, hell, you can probably get a guy to cut a reverse and go back the other way, because everybody's going to be shifted to that side. It's not creative at all, Coach Cruz. It's straight dive up the middle, and it doesn't work. Don't dive from the five. That's my thing. Don't dive from the five.
Also, I do have to throw this out there since Michigan's on the thing. Down points in the fourth quarter. Michigan has the ball at the 5-yard line. And do you know what that dude called? He called a damn run play. And I'm just sitting there like, oh, now you run it from the five. Now
are you talking about Coach Harbaugh? Because you didn't say damn dude. So I want to.
I love Harbaugh.
I was triggered. Somebody on Twitter. Here's what Breezy does, right? I'm going to talk about anybody at any given moment.
I was talking trash to you right after you won.
Sure enough, did you? But wait till you play Texas. That's exactly what you said. I'm like, damn, can I enjoy the win? Listen, I will call Coach Harbaugh out for anything. I will call anybody out. Like, that's what I'm going to do. Now, I don't have a problem backing it up, But that was the worst game. It was a Kyle Shanahan game plan. I thought they were Tweedledee, Tweedledum. I'm like, why are we not? How do you not run the ball or give the ball to your best player? I'd be asking Kyle Shanahan the same thing as well.
Yeah.
You got five best players, and you just, I don't get it. I don't be understanding it. I don't be getting it. That's game planning. It's game planning.
Ah,
he well, he didn't learn the whole game, Phillip. The whole game, you could have just ran with Blake Corum the whole game. They couldn't stop him. It took him all that time. It took him to be losing with 4 minutes to learn. Got you.
Some people don't learn. And Harbaugh and Shanahan are birds of a feather in that that ilk.
Bingo.
And that's part of why they're so great. Honest with you. Like,
they're insane, right? That's the insanity title, right? That's
both
what it is.
Both of them qualify, yes.
There
they
you
need
go.
Attention. And I love both of them equally. I was pulling for Michigan, and I hate Michigan. I've hated Michigan my whole life, but I was pulling for them because of Harbaugh and Wayne.
Hate Michigan, but you definitely show them love. Yeah.
Hey, man. I stick to the family. Hannah says, you know, the fact that we're discussing getting in the end zone when we have guys like CMC and Jordan Mason, yeah, I'm with you. Now, what's crazy is the 49ers are the number one red zone scoring team in the NFL. We're the number one team. We have the best percentage in the red zone, even though it shows its head. And it's funny because I got a couple emails about how terrible the 49ers are at tackling. Yeah, it's an issue in today's NFL, but you look at it, we're fifth best tackling team in the NFL. Fifth best. Doesn't mean we're great, but I'm just saying,
okay,
you look at across the NFL, this is an issue. Look at the draft. It's all guys that can break tackles. That's all everybody's drafting now.
You're right. You know what it is for the 49ers? It's the missed tackle, which leads to explosive plays, which leads to more missed tackling, which might not be missed tackles because of the first missed tackle.
Snowfall.
And it's the domino effect, right? And so when you look at the 49ers and you see a missed tackle, you're like, dang, especially the ones that are tackles for losses and they don't wrap or they slip out of it or somehow. Next thing you know, it goes from a 3-yard loss to a 30-yard gain. I mean, look at Brian Robinson. The dude ain't played in 2 weeks in this past game, and he had two explosive plays. The Commanders, I was about to call him the other team, the Commanders couldn't even figure out life at that moment. They give it to Brian Robinson. They say, what the hell? Run. He gets a 12-yard run and then a 22-yard screen. And that, to me, John, I still don't understand why we can't defend the screen well. I know our players are downfield, but there's got to be some type of a screen buster call to blow that up. What's good, Snoop?
Yeah, what's up, Snoop? How you doing? I like this question from NBN Pineapple. I freaking love it.
Okay.
He says, can you guys rank the teams you want the 49ers to play in the playoffs? Let's do this. Out of the teams that are still eligible, what are your two favorite matchups? If you could have
Dallas and Philadelphia.
Those are you think we match up better against them than anybody
else? I know it's weird. You haven't played Detroit yet, so you don't want to say you'll match up well against them. The one thing you know you're going to get from Detroit is you're going to get smash mouth football for 60 seconds. And when I tell you, you have to be ready for anything and everything under the sun. Dan Campbell will go for it on 4th and 70. Like, you just got to be ready. And the Niners will probably give up a 4th and 70. Like, that's kind of what they do. They give up the big fourth down, the big third down. So that's Dan Campbell. Like, that's the type of coach he is. The other coaches are you know, even Nick Sirianni is kind of like in that way. You know, he's going to go for it on 4th down. But I think the matchups, I don't think we match up well with the Rams. I know a lot of people feel like we do. I don't think we do. I don't think we still cover the slot well. I know people think we do. I think Puka Nacua will be a nightmare in that game. And if the Niners can't stop the screen, well, Kyren Williams, you could stop the run, but Kyren Williams will screen that ass up. And that's what he did in the first game. It was Kyren Williams and Puka Nacua. Go figure. Then Kyren Williams got hurt in the season, and then their offense kind of dropped off big time. And then when he came back, they picked right back up. So my matchups would be Dallas Cowboys. I don't think they match up well. I don't think their defense matches up with our offense. I don't think their offense can do anything to our defense. And then I like the matchup between Philly. I think the Niners have the blueprint on Jalen Hurts, and they will let one wide receiver have a day.
I love that, man. My number one would be Tampa Bay if I could play any team. I just don't think the Bucs, they're a great team, and they've kind of – maximized what they have, which is cool. But I think that we match up very well against them. And then my number two would be Philadelphia Eagles. So we're close there. Cowboys aren't too far off. The Green Bay team is probably the team I would not want to play right now. But again, doesn't worry me. I'm just looking matchup wise at what they do defensively. I feel like they're a pretty damn good defensive team. And when Jordan Love is on, he's on. But no team worries me in the NFC, not even a little bit. And yeah, I don't buy into the Rams are a bad matchup for us. I don't buy that. As a Soul Certified, I get it. And we've beat them how many times in a row? And the one time they beat us, they had the best team in their life, and we dropped an interception in the fourth, and Jimmy G kind of wet down his leg at the end of the game. So,
yeah,
I don't know, man. I get that they have five good players. But
they just got a different look on offense this year. And so back
offense
then
is great. Defense is trash.
Defense
they
is
just
different.
Almost lost to the freaking Giants.
Giants. I know. But they play us differently. They match up differently against the Niners. And they play different.
Not well.
It doesn't seem well. Let's talk about the first game, right? Because okay. The first game didn't go in the Niners' favor other than the fact that they found a way to win the game, right? Right?
They had a lot of yards. They did very well for the first half. We still won by, we were up by 11 points until they kicked that
stupid trash field goal. Right.
Coward.
But my point is they were giving the Niners, yeah, I would say a little fritz, right? That you had to figure out how to, you were scratching your head because you couldn't figure out how Puka Nacua was going on. Now, I think the Niners come back with a better game plan, and I don't think Cooper Kupp is the same guy he was 2 years ago from that injury. So the Niners, I still have the advantage. But it's Sean McVay and it's Matthew Stafford. These are two guys that hate the 49ers. So they're going to come out and play their best life games. So at the end of the day, I'm not worried about them. I just think the matchup, because it's a divisional game, would suck.
I like that. Now, a couple things I just want to update real quick before we bounce out of here. This Thursday at 4:30 p.m., we're going to have our Jerry Rice Tier Zoom Hangout. I want to hear from you guys. That's up on Patreon and the 49ersrush.com. And then we got our tailgate. Wade, you coming out for the playoff tailgates?
I'll be at the playoff tailgates with the 49ers Rush Road Trip crew. And it's going to be so cool because we are going to turn all the way up.
That's right. Tickets are up now. Early bird pricing only going to be up for two more days. So this is the cheapest they're going to be. Premium tailgate, premium food, premium bar, premium liquor, premium everything. Just giveaways, premium. You name it. 17
premium gas.
Always.
Yeah.
Just yeah. It's premium. Yeah. 49ersrushroadtrip.com. Prices will go up, though. So, like, right now is the cheapest they will be if you want to come hang out with us. That's the divisional round, which will be the 49ers' first playoff game. Come party with us. 49ersrushroadtrip.com. Let's go. Wayne.
Yeah.
Take us out of here, my friend.
We got one more Super Chat contribution I want you to read, and then we'll be out.
Oh, I missed it. There it is. Gold-blooded.
What do you think the biggest reason is why we struggle against screens?
We put players – one, we play a lot of zone, okay? So that's going to cause you to hesitate just a little bit because you're dropping to a space. If I'm manned up with a running back or a tight end and I see him peel off – that's my guy, but we run the least amount of man in the NFL. And what Steve Wilks has done that is incredible is he makes it look like we're running man, but it's still zone. Charvarius Ward talked about that a little bit this week. And so that's the difficult because we're going to drop to our spaces. They're going to get their blocking assignments. The way that you counteract that is with defensive ends and defensive tackles that hustle their A off and cut off that backside inward cut. We've struggled there a little bit this year. Not going to lie. We have struggled. Eric Armstead being out, that's one of the things he's best at. Hargrave coming back helped considerably. But that's one of the things we've struggled with continuously. And our safeties are taking some terrible angles. Terrible.
Couldn't agree more. I just think that because of our zone-based defense, they're just too far away in space to get to those spots. They're in coverage. They're covering a space, and when it's time to react, the blocks are there. That's why you see Fred Warner get blocked out. Like he's a missed tackle, but he's literally getting blocked at the same time. And so it's just so weird. For some reason, they can't figure out how to figure that out. But they'll get it.
I love it, man. I love it. All right, Wayne. Appreciate that. I'm glad you saw that. Take us out, my friend.
Hey, man, you guys have remained faithful all season long. We got 1 week left of the regular season. The 49ers already clinched. And I tell you what, guys, we can sit back and relax for a week as we game plan for that divisional round. But until then, guys, keep the faith going strong. Stay strong, faithful. We out. Peace.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
When your money's on the line, choose a trusted sportsbook that gives you tools to win, like MyBookie. And MyBookie doesn't matter if your team's up or down. You can easily cash out or bet the game live to come out on the winning side. Use MyBookie for daily odds boost, same game parlays. I like teasers. And take advantage of the huge prize pool contest. Plus, MyBookie currently has a no strings attached cash bonus that lets you deposit, withdraw quick. Carries a one-time rollover. Can't find that anywhere else. Just use promo code 49ers, 49ERS, or scan the QR code on this video right next to my face here to claim your own cash deposit bonus now. That's promo code 49ers. So try my money bag. You basically roll the dice and it picks a team and gives you extraordinary odds on who's going to win the Super Bowl. Lots of fun options there, so bet anything, anytime, anywhere, and I do mean anywhere, wherever you are, you can bet with MyBookie. Just make sure you use the promo code 49ERS, and let's go. Let's make some money together.